The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Bruce Hooley Show podcast is brought to you by HemisphereCoffeeRoasters.com. Creating jobs and restoring dignity one cup at a time. Good coffee doing good. Learn more at HemisphereCoffeeRoasters.com. Well, it turns out that Kamala Harris is not the only one having trouble with the whole Korea thing. Kamala is in Korea, the demilitarized zone, which is the area between North and South Korea. And she screwed up today when she got there talking about the long and enduring alliance that we have with North Korea. No, actually what we have with North Korea is a very uneasy existence. We fought a war with them, and we're still not too crazy about them because their citizens are treated deplorably by the dictator Kim Jong-un. It's South Korea that we are simpatico with. But before Kamala got there, Corinne Jean-Pierre at the White House yesterday was stumbling and bumbling through her characterization of how historic, because of course Kamala's black, so everything she does is historic, how historic Kamala's visit is to Korea.
These launches are in violation of multiple United Nations Security Council resolution and poses a threat to the DPRK's neighbors and the international community. The United States is committed to the defense of our allies, South Korea, Japan, and we continue to call on North Korea to engage in diplomacy as it relates to the Vice President's trip. So as you all know, on Thursday, which is tomorrow, as part of her trip to the Republic of Korea, ROK, the Vice President will visit the DMZ. Nearly 70 years since the Korean Armistice, the visit will underscore the strength of the U.S. Nearly 70 years since the Korean Armistice.
That would be armistice. Armistice. That's a peace agreement. An armistice. An armistice, Corinne.
Nearly 70 years since the Korean Armistice.
See, when you have to read everything, there's a chance you're going to stumble over it. When you know it, then you know it, okay? And I misspoke earlier when I said it's the first time 70 years. It's 70 years since the armistice, because Trump, of course, went over there to much consternation from the left in 2019.
Yeah, they were cautioning him, don't step
over
that line.
Don't step foot there, yeah. He seems fine. Orange man bad. Speaking of bad guys, Tim Ryan, the Democratic candidate for Senate in the state of Ohio, was in Hollywood last night at a big fundraiser. Now, you say, wait a second, isn't he still a congressman from the Mahoning Valley in the state of Ohio? Yes, he is. But don't worry, he sent a letter to the clerk at the U.S. House of Representatives saying that he would be absent. Now, what did his letter say? Did he say, you know, I'm running for Senate and I'm going to be absent because I got a fundraiser and I got to raise a lot of money from Hollywood types, which I will deny if anybody in Ohio tries to call me out on the fact that I'm running to represent the people of Ohio with money from California. No, he didn't say that. Here's the letter that Tim Ryan sent to Cheryl Johnson, clerk of the U.S. House of Representatives, on September the 15th. Pursuant to House Resolution 8, I write to notify you of the designation of a proxy to cast my vote. So he's ceding his vote to someone else. He's telling them how to vote, and they're voting on his behalf. What is your reason, Tim Ryan? The letter says, I am unable to physically attend proceedings in the House chamber due to the ongoing public health emergency. What ongoing public health emergency? I remember Joe Biden saying that the pandemic's over. there is no ongoing public health emergency. I mean, wait, there is if you want to suspend student loan debt, but there isn't if you want to do anything else. Now, who did he cede his vote to? Certainly another person from the state of Ohio, right? I mean, if you want to give your vote away to a surrogate, you would want it to be somebody from, I don't know, somebody from Northeast Ohio, somebody from Southeast Ohio, somebody whose district butts up against yours, maybe East Central Ohio, maybe even go all the way up in the northwest corner of Ohio to Marcy Kaptur. I mean, she's been in Congress longer than anybody from the state of Ohio. She knows the drill. She could certainly do it. No. Tim Ryan did not cede his proxy vote to anyone from the state of Ohio. He says, I hereby grant the authority to cast my vote by proxy to the Honorable Representative Lou Correa, C-O-R-R-E-A, who has agreed to serve as my proxy. Now, where is Lou Correa from? Oh, he's from California. Lou's from California. Could you get any farther away from the Mahoning Valley than the guy from California? So, if you like being represented in the halls of government by somebody from California, Tim Ryan's your guy. If you like being represented in the halls of government by somebody you're paying to represent you, and he's not there, and the reason he gives for not being there is a complete fabrication and lie, like every one of his campaign commercials, then Tim Ryan is your guy. Just saying. Now, the fear with Hurricane Ian is that it will gather strength and become a hurricane again. It came ashore as a hurricane, Category 4, winds of 155 miles an hour, devastated the western edge of Florida, Port Charlotte, Fort Myers, Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, all mammoth damage. Now it's going to cross the state. It's going to go out into the Atlantic Ocean. It's going to come back. It's going to hit the coast of South Carolina. It's going to regather and become a hurricane again. They've got 2 million people plus without power in the state of Florida. They're going in to try to rescue people because they thought, I keep hearing about hurricanes, haven't had one here in 18 years, probably not going to be that bad anyway. So they didn't evacuate. And, I mean, look, I remember hearing years ago, people from my little hometown would retire to Port Charlotte, Florida. They'd retire to Sarasota, Florida. They'd retire to Naples, Florida. That's the coast that you supposedly don't really have to worry about hurricanes too much. So the damage is devastating. Although I'm not sure, as bad as the damage is, and it's really, really bad, I'm not sure the damage is as bad as MSNBC's Shepard Smith said it was going to be. This is what you call a dire forecast.
See this? Melbourne, Daytona Beach, all the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
See this? Wow. That's alarmist. Now that was Shepard Smith.
Wow.
That was Shepard Smith. I brought that back because I just wanted to underscore why we don't miss Shepard Smith on Fox. That was Shepard Smith for Hurricane Matthew when he was on Fox. Shepard Smith like had this edge to him where he sometimes could not stifle his inner lefty alarmist. Okay. And so Shepard Smith now is on MSNBC, and I'm just giving you a flavor of what you would have maybe gotten from him, because Matthew, does anybody remember Hurricane Matthew? I don't remember Hurricane Matthew, but this was worse than Hurricane Matthew, so I could imagine that Shepard's analysis of Ian would have been similarly bad. Now, we talk all the time about what cheeses us off as citizens is the double standard, right? We had the pro-life activist the other day who was protecting his 12-year-old son, praying outside an abortion clinic. A crazed abortion protester came up, started shouting expletives at the boy, 12 years old. So Matthew Houck, like, pushed the guy away. No crime committed. Everything's fine. Oh, wait, wait. A couple months later, up shows the FBI with their guns drawn and pointing their guns at him. He's got seven kids. They're terrified. Saw the wife on Tucker Carlson last night. She looks like this has scarred her, too. Well, the double standard in accountability manifests itself in another way. Somebody just got a really big job in government. Gonna pay a lot. It's historic. Of course it is, because it involves a woman. But the Washington Post didn't think it was important to tell you who she's married to. We'll tell you who she's married to next. Hey, you might have heard there's an existential threat out there with the climate. I mean, Don Lemon of CNN had the National Hurricane guy on the other day, and he wanted to know, why are these storms so intense? What does climate change have to do with this? And the hurricane guy said, I would not, if I were you, associate any one event with climate. Yeah, but what about climate? Again, one event, don't pin it on climate. Well, I grew up in Florida, and I'm telling you, these storms are more intense. Okay, Don, thank you very much. Well, climate is a big deal. Don Lemon says so. It must be true. And so, the White House has, in a historic move, because everything the Biden White House does is historic, has appointed a czar, a special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. Yahoo! The Washington Post story from Glenn Kessler, fact checker, Glenn Kessler, that's important to remember. Glenn Kessler is the fact checker for the Washington Post. He writes, as temperatures rise and habitats shrink, hundreds of thousands of plant and animal species around the world are at risk of vanishing. For the first time, the United States has designated a special diplomat to advocate for global biodiversity amid what policymakers here and overseas increasingly recognize as an extinction crisis. Monica Medina is taking on a new role as special envoy for biodiversity and water resources, the State Department has announced. She currently serves as the department's assistant secretary for oceans and international environmental and scientific affairs. Do you know what else Monica Medina serves as? She serves as Ron Klain's wife. Have you heard the name Ron Klain? You probably should really know who Ron Klain is. Ron Klain is the White House chief of staff. While Joe Biden is turning to his right and left, desperately looking for a hand to shake that isn't there because there's no person there, while Joe Biden is showing us that his brain synapses do not connect because he's looking for a congresswoman at an event who has been dead for more than a month, the question looms, if Joe Biden thinks there's a hand there to shake that isn't there to shake and thinks there should be a congressman there to congratulate who is her body in the ground, her spirit in heaven, who's running the show? And the most oft-stated shadow president's name is that of Ron Klain, White House Chief of Staff. Now, I don't know about you, but I would tend to think that hiring his wife, while it smacks of nepotism, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she's accomplished. And I will admit, I certainly, while I would, I'm sure, love the pay increase, I will admit that I am not qualified to serve as special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. I'm not. I mean, I don't waste water, and I have a lot of different kinds of plants on my property, and I have my own apple trees, and I fertilize them, and I'm partaking of their bounty in between commercials. But I'm not equipped to be special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. But I am someone who knows that it's got to at least be worth a mention in a big newspaper like the Washington Post, that you're giving a bigger, better, more lucrative job to someone who is married to the White House chief of staff. How is that not worthy of mention in the story? Do you think if Donald Trump in the early days of his presidency had given a big job to Sean Spicer's wife, do you think the Washington Post would have written about Sean Spicer's wife being named to some big job in the White House without it being mentioned that Sean Spicer was Donald Trump's press secretary? I don't think so. I'm just going out on a limb here. A limb sturdy enough to have withstood the winds of Hurricane Ian. But whatever. More double standard from the Biden White House. Now, I tend not to tell every poll result to you because I think poll results can be like mock drafts around the NFL draft. Everybody has one. One not necessarily more applicable than another. But the latest Morning Consult Politico poll, I think, is noteworthy because Politico is heavy in the bag for Joe Biden. And when polls come out from organizations that are heavy in the bag for Joe Biden and they're not flattering for Joe Biden, well, that's encouraging for us because pretty much anything that's bad for Joe Biden's chances of getting reelected or Democrats' chances of getting handed more power or preserving the power that they have in the midterms is a result that I don't even want to contemplate. And here's how you know that Politico's poll is in the bag for Joe Biden. The sampling is of registered voters. Now, registered voters are fine. It's better than non-voters. It's better than people who aren't registered because I don't know how you'd find them because they tend not to be on voter rolls. Unless, of course, they're dead, then they're on Democratic voter rolls. But the poll results you should pay attention to are of likely voters, not registered voters. So this Politico poll found that just 41% of Americans approve of Biden's job performance. So here's the deal. They're above Trafalgar and some of the other polls that are down the middle, or polls of likely voters. But they're trying to stack the deck in Biden's favor by polling registered voters, which always oversamples Democrats. And it still shows that Biden is 15 points underwater because the percentage who disapprove of the job he's doing was 56%. And perhaps most importantly, the poll shows that Biden's approval rating has declined 5% in the last week. Now, the midterms are 40 days away. 40. So it shows you that all this talk about, oh, the president has momentum. Oh, he passed this and that, and he's coming back, and he's got the aviators on, and he's strong, and he's out. He's getting out among the people. He's telling his story, and they're responding to his leadership. And there's a difference between writing about what is happening and writing about what you want to be happening. And I really tend to think that the polls that have tried to serve as a crutch under Joe Biden to prop him up and to make it look like he's had a malaise, but now look at this, got the Inflation Reduction Act passed. Wow, he forgave student loan. Ooh, Roe versus Wade overturned. That's really going to help the president. You know, for a while, I had that fear. The closer we get to the midterms. And by the way, have you noticed what gas prices are in Columbus now? Gas prices are over $3.60. 2 weeks ago, they were $3.34. The station I go by, Lazelle and Sankas, was $3.11 one day. It's $3.68 today. If that trend continues,
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.